I'm Laura Vinroot Poole, and this is What We Wore.
All right, thank you all so much for being here this morning. I know you all had a really, really busy week. We had a beautiful event last night. It's so nice to see people with Plan C. And Carolina, we've loved having you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's I'm really happy to be here with you.
First time in North Carolina.
First time. Yes.
And
you have a beautiful shop.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Her impressions are it's cold.
Yeah.
we really loved having you. Thank you. She's at the, they're at the Duke Mansion, which I think they've enjoyed a lot, other than being cold in the garden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very nice.
And,
place.
And we have the Italians here to support if Carolina, Justin, Leslie, in case I speak too quickly and my English is not understood. Carolina, tell the group where you're from.
Yes, I'm from Milano. Actually, to tell you the truth, I'm half Swiss and half Italian because my mother comes from Lugano, Swiss. Switzerland, but I'm Italian. I'm really Milanese.
Yeah. And you grew up in the city? Were you all in the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really love Milan. It's a really nice place. It's a small town in a way. You know everybody. And it's also at the same time very international.
Yep.
There are some moments in the year that it's full of people, especially during fashion weeks and during Salone, that is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very an interesting place full of art exhibitions and events, concerts. It's
And Americans don't understand, I think, very well. You know, I mean, I think it doesn't look like Rome or Florence. And so
yeah,
I think
that's
Americans
true.
Have a hard time understanding
that's
it a little
true,
bit.
Because when you arrive and you go around, it's not so nice from outside, in a way, I think.
Because there's so many courtyards.
But
that you're not invited in.
Yeah. But inside, the buildings are so, so beautiful and with much of history and... Yeah. And design, it's very nice. And
speaking of, I think you grew up in fashion, many, many generations, and thinking of architecture, your family's incredible building that was your great-grandparents' atelier?
Yeah, 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 yeah. The history of my family in business, it started many years ago. Yeah. So my great-grandmother had an atelier. She was doing made-to-measure fur for the Milanese ladies. Mm-hmm. And in the place where we are now with Plan C.
Yeah.
And and then she was Maria Motta. And so the brand was not the brand, but it's a Pellicceria Motta. Pellicceria
yeah.
was fur
mm-hmm.
Motta. And then my grandfather decided to move on and launch Civi Furs.
Yep.
And he was producing furs for all the big brands, starting from Fendi. They was doing like production and distribution, and then they was producing for really everybody from Louis Vuitton, Valentino, Prada, Gisander, Giambattista Valli, really Marni, of course, later, and everyone.
And were they always full family businesses? Like when your grandmother was doing had the atelier, was your grandfather also supporting? Was he working in the business as well?
No. It was two separate things.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you remember about their business growing up, your grandparents?
Yeah. I mean, I remember also my grandfather. I remember a lot of Civi Furs because when I was young, I was going to the office every afternoon after school. And wandering there, and it was like a microcosm because my parents were there, my grandfather, my uncle, aunt, and then all the people working there. I was like a mascot because I was every day
draped in fur.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was helping a lot, like closing envelopes and putting like stamps. Was
I love that.
Doing those kind of things, and was really it was really fun for me to be there with them.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And your brother too, Johnny.
Giovanni, yeah, Giovanni, my brother, but he's 6 years younger.
Okay.
So
So you were the first mascot.
Yeah.
And then your parents both worked in Chiwi, and what was the impetus?
No, my father, he started really early working at Chiwi with his two brother and one sister. And my mother at that time, she was like doing clothes for her friends.
Yeah.
And then they decided to start a new brand, starting from fur.
And they, your mother and your father?
My mother and my father, yes.
And you were 10 years old, and this was Marnie.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, my aunt and uncle were in the business too.
Yeah.
My mother was the creative director, and...
And tell me about that. What was that like?
She was really avant-garde because at that time furs were like classic brown mink with big shoulder and she decided to use fur as a fabric. And so she created like anorak with the hood, unlined, very, very modern and avant-garde for that time. And then I remember one of the first shows, because they were just doing furs and not clothes and shoes. And so they had to choose shoes for the fashion show. And so they choose to use Reebok. They did a collaboration with Reebok. And at the beginning of the show, was all the lights were off, and you just saw the white Reebok. was very special. And at that time, showing furs with sneakers was really
avant-garde.
Really avant-garde. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many people work in the fashion industry in Milan, but do you remember realizing that Marnie was actually kind of a big deal?
just during fashion shows.
Yeah.
I was always in the backstage, and everybody after the show were coming to my mother, and they were all crying, and I remember like a really special moment. But then in a daily life, no, was really normal for me, nothing special.
And so did you study fashion in school? How did you become a part of Marnie? Because you worked there for 13 years?
Yes, yes, yes. I did artistic high school.
Yep.
And so I was more for set designer, scenographic, for theater, for cinema. But then I did fashion business at Marangoni in Milano. Mm-hmm. And I decided to join Marnie.
Was it a hard decision? Were you nervous about it?
No. I spent 1 year in London thinking what to do. And I was working, I was doing like internship at Vogue and Harper and Bazaar, and was studying English. And then I decided to skip the set designer and start the fashion business. I was more into business at that time. And then was really normal to start it in Marnie. And
was it a conversation? Do you remember sitting down with your parents and saying, this is something I want to do, I want to work in the family business?
I remember when I decided to start Marangoni, it was like July, and I had to decide what to do in September. And when I decided to start fashion business, it was really clear to me that then the way it was the way was this one.
How did you work through the company? Because you started doing something.
I did many things. Yeah. I started in the commercial department.
Yeah.
And I was following the Middle East and Far East markets.
Interesting.
And was really a really nice experience. I was traveling a lot and discovering all the different cultures and really approaching people and customers in a different way.
And bringing your information back to the team and saying, hey, in Dubai, you have to have you know, the dresses have to have this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
And then you moved to retail?
Then I moved to retail. I was doing, I was a buyer for accessories for a mono brand for our shops in Europe.
Yeah.
And was another really nice experience because the collection was really, really wide. And so we had the opportunity to put products thinking of the customer of that shop. So the buying for Paris was completely different from the buying from London.
Yeah.
And from
Charlotte, as we talked yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
No, that's true.
It is.
Everybody in the world is completely different and have different habits. And so you have to think about the customer.
I think we had such an interesting experience yesterday with Carolina. We had a bride looking for... rehearsal dinner, and I think it was so interesting to see what she was choosing and what her reasoning was for not liking this and liking this better. And we were all watching it like it was like a science experiment, really, because it is very different from what the conversation would be in Milan or Dubai.
That's true.
Yeah, really,
that's
interesting.
True, yeah,
yeah. And then from retail went on into the creative part, correct?
Yeah. Then after retail, we launched the e-commerce in 2006.
Wow.
Was a great experience because we were the first one
with Yuxe
launching an e-commerce selling the clothes because everybody was selling just accessories.
Right.
And so we had to think how to shoot, how to present the measurements, and everything was... to inventing something. And
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, you were really at the advent of that, the very beginning.
Yeah.
What do you think the most important things that you learned at Marni were?
I think the identity is something really important, and you have to follow your thought and to be... My mother is very instinctive, and so she was working like this, not listening too much
critics or
for example,
she always was like in her own world, you know.
Yeah, that's
true. We were saying that yesterday, that the pieces you have from Marni, like, they look like they could be from next year. They're 20 years old, you know.
That's true.
And I think Plan C as well.
My idea is to have a wardrobe in constant evolution. Because when I design one piece, I think if you buy one piece from Plan C, I think you will love for next years. And because it's not seasonal. I mean, it's not, I don't follow the trends. I just follow what I like, and the collection is very personal.
Yeah. I always tell this story about Albert Elbaz at Lanvin. We saw him do a presentation to the team 15 years ago. And he was saying to his whole commercial team, everything I design is meant to go with everything I have ever designed. That's the whole point. And you could see the commercial team being like, no, we want to sell more. but it's a revolutionary
idea. Exactly what I think.
Everything should go back to everything, because if it is truly your aesthetic, it is truly you, then it is always going to be you.
Yeah.
Even though you continue to change and have new solutions for things.
Yeah. For example, this is a jacket from a past season, and
I love that.
Yeah.
What did you learn from your father specifically?
My father, when I was young, was constantly repeat, there was two rules to follow. The first one was use your brain, and the second one was don't care about people, critics.
People
And so it was really, to me, it was like, okay, I know, I understand, I understood. But now I can understand that it's nice.
And your mother
rules.
Specifically, did she tell you anything when you were starting your business? Any advice?
Yes, of course.
Anything that you remember specifically?
No, I mean, the nicest thing is that... she is our best clients. I mean, she her personal order is like a shop order. So,
and I'm sure to watch her wear it is interesting too, because it's different than the way probably you would put together as well.
Yeah,
you sold the family business in
2016.
And what was that process like? Was it hard? Difficult?
Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, painful.
Yes. Yeah.
You first sold off 70% of it or something, and then you sold the rest of the entire thing?
Yeah, we sold in 2013 and one part, and then 2016 100%. Yeah.
Did the family talk about how hard it was? Did you have conversations about how emotional it was?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot of this, and but was really too much.
Yeah.
Especially for my mother. Yes.
Yeah.
Too many collections, too many shops. We had like 100 shops, and she was doing like 6 collection. I mean, it was pre-fall, pre-fall, and then men's, and then kids, and then really, really too much.
Yeah. Do you remember her ever regretting it, or saying your father, or your mother saying they regretted selling it?
No. I mean, when you decide one thing, then you go...
Then you go on, move on.
Yeah.
And so how long after that was it that you started your own business, started Plan C?
Yeah, I mean, after we sold, I had, like, we had 18 months of thinking. And
and were you missing it? I mean... But did
Yes, because I was doing a really fun job.
Yeah.
Following all the special projects around the world. I've been doing really nice projects. And in Milan, the flower market, and then in Hong Kong, in Tokyo, and then we, for the 20th anniversary. And we did in Venice for the Biennale. Yeah. So it was really fun.
Yeah.
Our idea is to start again, in our way, a small family business, and grow little by little, and share work and life, and
have more of a balance than
100
shops.
Yes.
So what does success look like for you for Plan C? What would make it feel like it were successful?
It has been really a tough period, because when we started was really booming at the beginning, was really we sold a lot.
Yeah.
But then after 1 year, there was like COVID, and then the worst, and then the fashion crisis, and really everything is now. And
I think the world is like that, but I think fashion is like that. You just sort of keep getting knocked down, and you have to be like, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. But we are a family business, and we work for the future, and so we invest a lot, and we trust on our view, and we don't want to move following the flow, but just go straight for our way. And I mean, we
and yet your father is working in the business, and your brother.
Yeah.
And what part of the business are they in, and how are they supportive of you?
My father is the CEO, and my brother follow all the operations.
Is he tough on you, your father?
No, I mean, no. We really work well together, and we have been always working like this. So.
Yeah.
And so my father, is more on top of everything.
What are you most proud of your family's legacy in the fashion business? So it's a long lineage of contributing beauty to the world. Really.
I'm proud that they built like an empire from zero. Because, I mean, it was not zero, of course, because they had Chibifours on helping and all the people working at Chibifours helping, but... they really create an empire. My mother has been compared to Miuccia Prada and to Rei Cavacubo. So,
how has she been helpful other than being your best client?
I mean, just giving her point of view, and always saying, do what you want, and be very. Work with instinct, and
And do you tell her sometimes this is hard? How did you do
this?
Yeah.
It's It's very hard.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think the hardest parts of fashion are?
Now, in this moment, what is very hard, especially with the wars, is that the pricing. Because the raw material grow a lot, the pricing will grow a lot, and we cannot put the growth of the raising on the products.
Right.
So...
Because I mean, you're talking things like buttons are more expensive, zippers are more expensive,
everything,
fabrics more expensive.
Fabrics, especially fabrics.
Yeah.
Every season is more expensive, and because we want, because I'm really, I do a lot of research on fabrics, and I always want new fabrics with new hands and different things. And the quality, it's super important for me.
Everything's made in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is made in Italy. And so when the supplier gives you the prices and you say, okay, very expensive.
And especially expensive when you're small and starting out because your volume is smaller. It's not like Marnie coming in and saying we have 100 stores.
There's
a lot of work in that.
Yeah, less you buy, more the price is higher. And
not only that, production, that somebody gets bumped in ahead of you if they have more production, right? Like, you know, Gucci would be ahead of you for cotton shirts because they are producing 100 times the amount of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really complicated industry.
And many, many companies came back to Italy to produce with the wars. And so some of our suppliers said, I'm sorry, we have to produce for them first because they produce a lot. So it's very, very tough.
Giovanni does production or no?
He
does. And do you have some people that used to work at Marnie that work with you now?
Yeah. Many people.
We have one question that we ask everybody on the podcast, and I don't think that you have proms in Italy, but do you have proms? Do you know what a prom is?
No. What is proms?
We need the Italian ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never do this. No, we don't have...
Do you have a graduation party or some big... Do you have a big... All the English girls have this big graduation party, the marquee party that they say.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Do you have a favorite dress growing up, your favorite dress in high school that you had, or favorite outfit? Or your wedding dress?
The wedding dress? Yes.
Okay, tell us about that. Yeah, we need to hear about that.
We married... now I'm divorced, but...
Okay.
We married up to the mountains in Switzerland, and it was January, so...
So a lot of fur.
A lot of... Yeah. I didn't have this fur. a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Very cold, but very nice. Yeah. I decided to because I was afraid about rain, and so I said, okay, let's marry with the snow. It's more magical. And I had a beautiful white skirt, very straight, and then a cape.
What kind of what fabric?
A beautiful wool.
Oh, beautiful
pressed wool.
Ooh,
very nice. And
straight
then
skirt and
straight
wool.
A-line, but very straight.
Okay.
And then
white or an ivory.
Ivory.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the top.
And then a cape.
Ooh.
A cape with a hood and.
Oh my gosh. And Carolina, I love. Okay. A hood. Yeah.
We need a cape.
I know. Wow.
And then a hat, a fur hat.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
White, all white.
Oh, I love.
Yeah.
And jewels?
No. I don't know.
Shoes.
Without. Shoes,
boots?
Yes. No. No. Sandals, but like a wedge sandal, all white. Same fabric as the skirt.
How beautiful. And did, when you walked in the church, did everybody go, oh?
Yeah, it was.
A little bit.
Yeah. And I was with, of course, with my father and my son.
Oh, I love.
Yeah. And my son was wearing my father coat. So he was two.
Yeah.
And he was wearing his grandfather coat.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was very nice.
You have two children?
Yeah.
And what's it been like? How do you navigate that? Running a business and being a creative director and having two children?
I mean,
the way your mother did.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated, but I wake up with them. I drive there to school. Mm-hmm. They go to an American school.
Ah.
Yeah, Milan. Yeah, and it's a bit far. So it takes half an hour to go there. But it's very nice because we study, we chat, we sing. We do many things in this half an
hour. They tell you a lot
in
the car, I think. They tell you more in the car than they do in
a
the
lot,
world.
Yes. Yeah. More in the morning than in the evening at dinner.
True.
Yeah.
So true. And did they come to the atelier after school they like you did?
No.
No. Doing it differently.
No. They do. They have a really busy day with sports and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I know we have questions. If you're open to answering questions,
yeah, of course.
They're going to be asked in Italian.
Okay.
Can you share the inspiration behind the name Plan C?
Yes, of course. Plan C stands for Carolina and Castiglioni. And also it's a third plan after A and B. So A was Civifors, B Marni, and of course C Plan C.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
What is your favorite piece that you have designed?
I mean, there's not one favorite piece. Maybe the Pilien Bianca bag. It's a bag that we have since the beginning. It's a lacquered canvas bag. We have white and black. And what is nice that has two prints on it, Pili and Bianca. It's two drawings that my daughter designed when she was three. And now she's 11. There are two characters, two portraits that she designed. Was Bianca is her friend and Pili her brother, Filippo. And so it's a piece that always is in our collection, and we sell a lot, and I'm really proud of. Yeah.
What's something you learned about yourself becoming a mom?
Came really naturally, and I always try to balance the time with them, and and what is nice is that we talk a lot, and they ask a lot about my work. We eat all together every night, every evening, and I ask them everything's good at school, and they ask me, what have you done today? And they are asking many questions on my daily work, and also in this trip, because it's 2 weeks that we are around. We've been to Japan first, and then we to New York, and then we came here. And every day they're asking, what are you doing today, and how you felt, and what's going on. And we talk a lot, and this is, I think, it's nice. Every weekend we are together, and we spend a lot of time together and doing things, and we always go to up to the mountains to ski every weekend. It's one nice thing living in Milan is that we are really next to the mountain and next to the sea, and so it's nice to spend time during weekends with them.
Growing up in a generational, in a family business, and now, you know, being such a part of that, do you have, in having that balance, is business and being such a creative, is it kind of a constant, or do you try to, is there any way that you kind of ever try to turn it off?
No, I'm able to switch off, yes. I mean, it's a constant working and thinking, even because in a creative work... I took a lot of inspiration of my daily life. So it's always there's one part of my mind open to think, but because I do a lot of picture, my passion, one of my passion are is doing picture, and then I use in my work and
photography.
Okay. Yeah, photography, and then I transformed into like photo images, and then sometimes it's just modifying with computer. Sometimes in the last collection, I just painted on it. So my mind is always open to new things and new ideas, and but I'm also able to switch off and have fun with.
Have either of your children shown interest in the fashion industry, or are they kind of doing their own thing and paving their own way?
No, they're not much interested in fashion. Yeah, more sports and... No, they're interested about my work, but not about fashion.
Defining yourself apart from your mother's brand, what would you want people to remember about you? Because the avant-garde, there's so much to remember about your mom. What is your signature that you want people to think of when they think of your brand?
That I create like pieces that are really for everyday, and you can, but special, where you feel really different and special, but very easy to wear every day.
Thank you, Carolina, so much.
Thank
First
you.
First podcast.
What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. Please follow us on Instagram at What We Wore Podcast for additional content and show updates. QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.